you're a Capital One customer, heads up. The company says they've been hit by a massive data breach, which has affected approximately 100 million people in the U.S., 6 million in Canada. A lone hacker who has now been arrested was able to access credit card applications, social security numbers, and bank account numbers. In a statement, Capital One says they believe it's unlikely that the stolen info was used for fraud or shared with others, but an investigation will continue. Emily Flitter joins us now to talk more about the data breach and what we need to know about it. She's a reporter covering banking and Wall Street for the New York Times. Emily, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this looks like one of the largest data thefts from a financial institution we've seen so far. What do we know about what got out here?
Well, the hack involved credit card applications, which had information like addresses and, you know, emails and things like that. But then there were also social security numbers and bank account numbers taken. And the 100 million number is the, you know, the size of everybody affected. But there were only 140,000 social security numbers taken, 1 million social insurance numbers, which are the social security numbers for Canadians, taken. That's still a lot. 80,000 people's bank account numbers were also taken. So overall, it's a really big breach, and I think Capital One is trying to, you know, point out that they don't think that the information was shared or used beyond this one hacker. We'll see what happens with that investigation.
Before we dig more into what exactly happened here, let's look at the Capital One customer who's hearing this and thinking, how much should I freak out right now? How much should they freak out right now, if at all?
Well, I don't want to cause anybody to panic. Capital One has said that it will reach out to individuals to discuss what happened to their information. We don't exactly know how they're going to do that yet. If I were a Capital One customer, I think I'd be calling the bank and asking for more information at this point.
Now, let's break down the timeline. When did the breach happen? When did Capital One learn about it?
The breach happened earlier this year, and Capital One didn't learn about it until a sort of good Samaritan in the info security community reached out through email and said, hey, I think you should take a look at this. Someone is posting on this community website saying that they have your data. That was on July 17th, so just 10 or so days ago. And after they found out, they studied what the hacker was doing and what she was saying, and that's how, in part, how they determined that she didn't appear to have shared the data with anybody else, but she had had it for months already.
And this hacker who's been arrested, the alleged hacker, I guess, was online bragging about having done this massive data breach. I don't know much about hacking, but I think I would probably maybe keep it quiet. I don't know. The fact that this hacker was bragging about it was part of why it got found out and why she was ultimately arrested.
That's true. She had a username that was, her username was Erratic. That was what she chose for herself. But she also put up different posts that associated the username Erratic with her real name, Paige Thompson. And she definitely wasn't shy about admitting that she had done something that she knew was wrong. And in one post, she said, I've basically strapped myself with a bomb vest, dropping Capital One's docs and admitting it. And then another, in response to what she was describing, someone wrote, please don't go to jail.
Talking to Emily Flitter from the New York Times about this big Capital One data breach. Emily, this is Capital One. As I understand it, it was one of the many Amazon cloud-based platforms they were using. Do we know if this was somebody's fault, the vulnerability that let this hacker get to this stuff?
Okay, so there are two questions here, and one is easily answered. It was Capital One's fault. They didn't configure their firewall correctly. I can't explain in great detail what that means, but it means that basically they should have done a better job setting up the product that Amazon sold them. It's as if you bought a home security system and then didn't turn it on right. So the other issue, though, is that Paige Thompson did work for Amazon. She actually worked on the very server system that Capital One was using. So she may not have had inside knowledge about how to exploit the system's vulnerabilities, but she did have familiarity with it. And the question for Amazon is, why did you hire someone who eventually behaved like this? Did you look closely into this person's background enough and think about whether it was right for somebody like this to be working at, you know, on a project like this before you hired the person? And of course, at that point, we didn't know Paige Thompson would eventually hack this, but the question of the background check is still there.
Now, we've seen this settlement from the credit bureau Equifax, a $700 million settlement over a past data breach. Are we expecting likely legal action now on behalf of Capital One customers involved in this?
Well, I think it's too early to tell, but just based on my expertise, not any knowledge that I have, I wouldn't be surprised if bank regulators took a really long, hard look at this and eventually did something to give Capital One, you know, a slap on the wrist at the very least for not maintaining the security of its customers' data.
Capital One is a pretty big bank. What are other big banks saying that they're doing when it comes to security and trying to avoid being the next financial company with a big data breach?
Well, the biggest banks say that there's no limit to what they want to spend on cybersecurity. I think Bank of America recently described it as a blank check. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, said that the bank spends $600 million a year, I think, on security. So they want to convey that they take it seriously. What that means is unclear. These are giant institutions, and technology is changing so quickly that a problem that every one of them has is that they're buying whole software and infrastructure and sort of tacking it on to their existing operations. And whenever you do that, you get these situations where the institution is so large that, like, every piece of it may not understand how its other pieces fit together, and that can create some holes in security.
Given that these things are happening to some of the biggest banks in the world, are there things that individual consumers can do to protect themselves, or at least hopefully detect if their own accounts have been compromised?
Well, after the Equifax breach, there were options for consumers to freeze their own credit, and so that no one could take out, you know, another line of credit using their Social Security numbers. I think that that's a good way to protect oneself. Another really common sense way is to just keep track of what you post online and be very conservative. I mean, do you really need to have 5 social media accounts where your birth date and, you know, your last address and your middle initial are all visible for everyone to see? There are a lot of ways people who want to steal your identity can put together a composite view of you through publicly available data on the internet and use that to sort of wiggle into your affairs.
And briefly, in our last few moments, Emily, what are you watching for next as this investigation continues into this Capital One breach?
Well, I think we're going to have to figure out what the consequences are, you know, with regulators and law enforcement for Capital One. And I think we also have to figure out whether going forward, Capital One and Amazon, or I would say all banks and Amazon and other server providers, change how they operate. Are there going to be stricter controls placed on which vendors banks can use when they get services like, you know, cloud storage services? Are regulators going to force them to do more due diligence on?
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Emily Flitter from the New York Times, looking at the data breach affecting Capital One customers in the U.S. and Canada.